Hello, everybody. Pastor Adam here. Let's dig into a topic today. But first, let's honor the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for today. And we just want to recognize you and thank you for giving us ears to hear, eyes to see. Help us to discern, Father. Increase our faith. We ask for more wisdom with understanding, Father. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. So today, I want to dialogue about something. I put this together and just kind of, I don't know, excited about it. But it's just talking about demons. And in particular, we're going to focus on that story that's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke of the demons going into the pigs. And why did Jesus answer their, you know, grant their request? And I think after we talk about this, I think you're going to notice that this discourse, this event holds greater relevance than what we initially might seem, you know? And in fact, it conveys a profound lesson that every follower of Jesus should know. Now, the story about this encounter is recorded in Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 through 34, Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, and Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. And I'm gonna summarize this discourse because each of those versions, you know, have a little different twist, as they should. If three of us were watching something, I don't think we'd all three have the same things we're going to notice. I'm just hoping you'll not get offended, or just allow me to try to encapsulate this story. Okay, and so here's my summary. And when Jesus had come to the other side in the region of the Gergesene, there was a demon-possessed man that came out from the tombs to meet him, and he was exceedingly fierce, such that no man might pass by that way. And behold, he cried out, saying, "What do you want with us, Jesus, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the appointed time?" Now Jesus asked him what his name was, and the demon said, "Legion, for we are many." And off in the distance, there was a herd of many pigs feeding. So the demon, they begged Jesus, saying, "If you cast us out, can you send us into the herd of pigs?" And Jesus said unto the demons, "Go." And when they left, they went into the herd of pigs, and behold, the entire herd of pigs ran violently down the steep hill into the Sea of Galilee and perished in the waters. Now those that were there keeping watch of the herd of pigs, they ran back into their city and reported all of this, including what had happened to that demon-possessed man. Then the entire city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw Jesus, they pleaded with Jesus to depart from their region. Okay, that's kind of encapsulates this story. So let's talk, let's get into this story and relish this opportunity to see some, I think, very clear lessons that we shouldn't overlook. We tend to overlook them, but we shouldn't, okay? And wait, before I get into that, I want to point out something. This story recorded in the Gospels, like quite often, quite a few stories in the Gospels, there's always going to be slight discrepancies between, you know, what either Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John write compared to the others. They're not always identical. In fact, for me, the way I look at life and this, that's one of the greatest things of why this proves this was real. Because they're not cookie cutter versions of each other. They actually have different emphasis on, you know. And so in this case, Matthew's version says there was two demon-possessed guys, right? While both Mark and Luke mention just one. Now, Mark's version kind of does mention demon-possessed men at one point. Say, well, I mean, it refers to there's more than one. But here's the point. Here's the thing. Please don't let that detail distract you from the overarching points that this incident should show us. So the first thing I want to point out, the first lesson, I guess, or takeaway, is notice the overarching theme here is that the gospel is available to everyone. This herd of pigs which that in itself should alert us that we must be in Gentile land. Because pigs in the Jewish community, right, are considered unclean according to the law of Moses. And a Jew would never have pigs. They would never be raising pigs. They're unclean. So what I'm getting at is this part, they said, go over to the other side of the lake. They were on the side of Galilee, and so they went to the other side, which is a Gentile region, I guess. So this highlights the all-encompassing universal ministry of Jesus, which, of course, reached Jews, but also Gentiles. And also, don't miss that the story shows that Jesus was rejected not only by Jews, but he gets rejected by the Gentiles as well. I mean, because they asked him to leave, right? Okay, now, a next thing, to the next lesson from this event is notice that the demons recognize Jesus' authority. Now, what happens in each of the gospel accounts that we just read, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, just prior to this, they're in that boat. They're crossing over, and a great storm comes, and Jesus is sleeping, and the guy's freaking out because the wind and the water's kind of damaging, and it looks like they're going to sink. So they wake up Jesus and say, hey, and what does Jesus do? He just stops the wind and calms the seas. And so they're kind of like trying to figure that out. They're like, what? This guy can even calm the wind and the seas? I mean, they were astonished by his power over nature, right? They were kind of like left questioning that. As you're reading this, they're left there kind of doing that. And then we jump into this story about this demon, this possessed guy, and Jesus casting it out. Okay? And, I mean, so the guys are trying to figure this out, but the demons, they, on the other hand, immediately recognize Jesus as the Son of God. Do you see the disparity there? The disciples are still wondering who this guy is. Even after they see miracle after miracle, they're still wondering. But the demons, they don't have a doubt. They know that this is the Son of God. Which demonstrates, folks, that Jesus' divine identity was undeniable even in the spiritual realm. This recognition by the demons was not out of reverence, but rather from a forced understanding of who Jesus is and his sovereign authority. I mean, even though they knew who Jesus was, they still hated Jesus. And that, folks, is truly demonic. See, the demons, they fear final judgment. And look at the question in the Matthew's gospel, I think it is, where they ask, have you come here to torment us before the appointed time? Well, hello, that reveals that the demons are fully aware of the final judgment awaiting them. They know there's a time when it's all going to end for them. And they're like, wait, this isn't the appointed time yet, so what are you doing here? I mean, this time the demons are referring to is the moment when God will execute ultimate judgment on the Satan and his demons. So the demons' fear upon seeing Jesus shows that his presence already foreshadowed their future condemnation. And that should be great comfort to us because it reinforces that evil's days are numbered. Okay, so that's like the second big lesson, I think. Here's the third, is enormous. The deliverance of those two men manifested in a herd of pigs emphasizes the magnitude of Jesus' power. No matter how severe the case or how many evil spirits are involved, Jesus can bring complete deliverance. This display of power shows us that no situation is beyond his reach. He has absolute dominion over spiritual and physical realms. Right? Because he just prior to this, he calmed the storm. Right before this event. So it's covering both the natural and the supernatural. And I mean, no doubt, this is very fascinating. But why did the demons want to leave these guys if Jesus and go to the pigs in the first place? And I want to dig into this some. And And, you know, we don't have any scriptural references to point to that give us the answer. But I want to just propose a few possibilities. The first possibility is, I think, the desire of the demons to have a physical home. According to scripture, demons constantly seek a place to inhabit as they seem to feel incomplete or uncomfortable without a physical home. For instance, in Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 and 44, we find Jesus saying that unclean spirits wander through dry places seeking rest, but only feel satisfied when they find a body or a living being to possess. So when the demons asked to inhabit the pigs, it may have been their desire for a physical space to express themselves, even if temporarily, since they had been expelled from the man, right? And they needed a new host. I mean, you know, I don't know, but this kind of reveals the parasitic nature of demons, which depend on something material to exert their influence and cause destruction. They need something to do this damage. They need somebody to surrender to them to allow them in other words. And however, the pigs, once they possess the demons possess these pigs, immediately they rushed into the Sea of Galilee and died. You know, I don't know. I'm just, again, spitballing here. If the demons had known this would happen, they probably wouldn't have made that request since their goal was to continue exercising their malice in a new host. I mean, they would take the option of being expelled to wander through dry places again. And I'm just speculating here, but that just seems possible. Now, okay, a second possibility is that demons' hatred for God's creation. And so what I'm getting at here is, you know, I think the demons knew that this would happen and the pigs would die. And since the demons have a hatred, a deep hatred for everything God created and everything God considers good, including humans and animals, right? Well, the demons may have entered the pigs with the very intent of destroying them. So it's kind of like the flip side. Like, no, this was their plan. And in the Aramaic version of the Bible, the word used is not go into the pigs. The word used is attack the pigs. Just throwing that out there. That's what it says in the Aramaic translation of the Bible. It's the demons wanted to attack the pigs, not go into the pigs. I mean, from the demons' point of view, leading the animals to self-destruction demonstrated their destructive essence in opposition to God's creation. In other words, this act can be seen as an extension of the demons' desire to cause maximum suffering, whether by ruining human lives or destroying animals. Both are part of God's creation. By driving the animals into the sea, the demons not only reveal their chaotic nature, but also attempt to sabotage the harmony of this physical world, which is originally created to reflect God's glory. So any chance they can, any way they can, they want to just cause God pain. Now, a third possibility of why the demons asked Jesus to enter these pigs was strategic in their minds to bring harm to Jesus. I mean, they could be figuring out that this move could stir up hostility among the local population towards who? Towards Jesus. Because the entire herd plunged into the sea, they were able to inflict significant financial damage to the community as the pig herd was a source of their livelihood. And guess what? The demons succeeded, didn't they? I mean, the Bible tells us in all the versions, as a result, the people asked Jesus to leave despite the miracle of deliverance Jesus had just performed. And that right there, that behavior of the people to have Jesus leave after doing this miracle, demonstrate the demons' intent to use circumstances to discredit Jesus and drive people away from Jesus. Even after a very clear demonstration of his power and compassion. Which leads to a deeper and more complex question. Well, why would Jesus grant the demons' request? And, you know, we don't have a definite answer to that question either. But I want to point out some clues that could maybe help us to figure things out here. First off, we have the fact that Jesus exposed the true nature of evil. by allowing the demons to go into these pigs or to attack these pigs, regardless, either or, Jesus visibly revealed the true essence of evil, the true essence of their tendencies to have destruction everywhere and chaos everywhere. Because, see, the demons are incapable of doing good, and therefore they immediately led the pigs to self-destruction, making it crystal clear that their sole purpose is to distort and destroy everything God creates. This very tangible demonstration serves as a powerful warning to all who witness this event, showing that evil, when disguised or seemingly harmless, always results in ruin. Because see, Jesus turned the herd of pigs into an instrument to expose the malignancy of the demons and teach us a profound spiritual lesson about the need for deliverance and divine protection against the forces of darkness. Now, another critique here of the distorted region's priorities could be why Jesus granted the demons' request to go into the pigs. And what am I getting at? What do I mean here? Well, hear me out. After the miracle of, saving this man from his possession of demons, right? And the people on the town, instead of celebrating deliverance, they were more concerned with the financial loss caused by the death of the herd of pigs. What this reveals is that the people, the crowd, the town valued their material possessions more than the restoration and salvation of human beings. Their attitude implicitly critiques their priorities, revealing that they preferred pigs over people. They preferred pigs over their Savior. And therein, folks, lies the great lesson that's often overlooked in this passage. The most important takeaway from this story should be that any single one of us can easily fall into that very same trap. The trap is prioritizing our material possessions, our material comfort, our personal interests above the presence of Jesus and what he is doing in our lives. We must evaluate whether we are willing to give up our resources, our plans, or anything else that prevents us from wholeheartedly following Jesus. The key question is, do we value Jesus more than our possessions, more than our status or our sense of security, right? Our provision, protection, and acceptance. That's the things Candace taught and I talk about all the time, our soul transformation. Just as the Gergeshene, right, people here, this town, asked Jesus to leave because of the loss of their herd of pigs, you and I risk expelling Jesus from certain areas of our lives when he confronts us with difficult choices. You know, folks, may we always choose the presence of Jesus above everything else. We got to recognize, moment by moment, that nothing compares to the priceless value of knowing and following Jesus Christ. God bless you all. Until next time.